Good morning, everyone, and God bless you. Praise God. It is so good to be home with you saints, and thank you. I appreciate it. Now, we had a wonderful time, and I probably could have stayed another week because we got gypped like 3 days out there because it just rained on the island the whole 3 days. But I know. Oh. But when we were coming yesterday, I was like, it feels good to be home. And I'm so thankful for all of you and the love that you have expressed in different ways for me and for Nina. And we miss you too. We missed you too. And we were praying for you. And you guys were left in great hands, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Got some of the services, listened and watched. And man, what a blessing. What a blessing that God's raised up good, godly men all over to minister to his flock. Amen. And you know, I just wanted to, some of you may remember or may be thinking about it, but most of you wouldn't know. 15 years ago this month, God blessed us with this building. 15 years ago. And, you know, the building is just something that God provides for his people to get together and for him to minister to his flock. And we've seen him minister to so many of us throughout the years. It's just been incredible what God has done. And it's been such a joy to be somewhat of just a child. You know, we're all God's kids watching our Father at work. And I'm looking forward to all the years ahead of us as far as what God's going to do. But happy anniversary, saints. It's another wonderful anniversary. Well, I'm going to be sharing four verses this morning. You know, when we gather together, we as God's people, we don't worship the Word of God. We worship the God of the Word.
Amen.
And it's so good to start out with just getting the Word in us. I need the Word of God. You need the Word of God. And so I have four verses that I want to get in us to start. And I would say, follow along on the screens, because it's going to be tough to follow along. I'm not going to be reading all the verses. But, and what I mean by that, I'm not going to read every part of the verses. So it'll be moving fast. But if you're a note taker, you could jot down the reference, and I'll repeat them later on in the message. I figure today's communion, and I thought I would share an exhortation. I shared this exhortation, or at least a form of it, at our last men's breakfast. And after the men's breakfast, I was not looking for any responses, which I don't. I just share the Word of God, and I leave the responses, or I leave the rest in the Lord's hands. But there were quite a few responses of how people were ministered to. And as I thought about it and prayed, I thought one of these days, this is a message I'm going to share with the congregation, with everyone, because I know it'll be a blessing to the body. And today's the day. Today is the day. But if you're one who wants a scripture reference, you could jot down Genesis 37:18, Psalm 55:12. At least for now. 2 Corinthians 12, 7. And again, we'll fill in more, but this is a reference point. And then Luke's gospel, lastly, chapter 22, verse 42. All right, now let's let this word sink in. Might not make sense to you now, but just hear the word. This is the word of the Lord, the one who we love and adore and we worship. And he's drawn us together to minister to our hearts. And so let his word sink in. Genesis 37:18. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Psalm 55:12. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him, but it was you. A man, my equal, my companion, my acquaintance. 2 Corinthians 12:7. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And then lastly, Luke 22, somewhere in verse 42, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. I titled this exhortation, Mean or Meaningful? And I want us to look at it through the lens or the idea of some days are mean, but God makes them meaningful. Right now, you might be going through some mean days, but I want to encourage you, hang in there, because God makes the mean days meaningful. You hang in there. You grip onto Christ. You may not understand what's happening now, but you hang on to Christ Jesus, your Lord, who loves you and who saved you. If you cried out to Christ and you made a commitment to Christ, you belong to him. You hang in there. Some days are mean, but God makes them meaningful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace and your mercy in this time that we could spend together considering your word and this exhortation. As we prepare our hearts for the elements, I pray, God, that you would be glorified in our midst, that our hearts would be in tune to you, that our spirits would be honoring you, that we would be speaking with you, God, as we're hearing and experiencing this time together in your house, that we would be speaking with you, you would be speaking to us, and that there would be life change that takes place here, that you would change us. God, we surrender all that we are to you. God, we ask that you forgive us of our sins. We are sinful people. We ask that you'd forgive us of our sins. God, we at times get discouraged and we go through hardships and we want to throw in the towel. We want to quit. I pray, God, that you would strengthen us, your people. Your word tells us that many are the afflictions of the righteous. But God, help us. Help us, Lord, to not quit, but to know that you deliver us out of them all. God, be glorified during our time from our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever noticed that some days are mean? You wake up and the first thing that happens to you is you stub your toe. You get past that. You go downstairs and you start making that cup of coffee. How many of you are coffee drinkers? Yeah, you make the coffee and somehow, you don't know how you got it wrong. You've done it a million times, but this time it just overflowed everywhere. Yeah. You get ready, you go out, and you go to turn the car on, and the car's dead.
Tuesday.
You lock your keys in the car. So true. You lock your keys in the car, maybe. Instead of the car being dead, you lock your keys in the car, you lock the house, you're out in the garage or in the driveway or wherever you might be, and you can't get in, you can't get going. You call your spouse and they don't answer. You get to work, you weren't expecting this, and they tell you today's your last day. Yeah. You go home and you find out your spouse left. And some days are mean, you know. This all sounds like a good country song. And when I say mean, I'm talking about hard days, challenging days, hurtful days, days that you're only left with questions. Why? I don't understand. Yesterday was good. And today, what happened overnight? Sometimes we know that, and in all reality, it's not just some days. Some days turn into weeks, months, years, seasons. Some seasons are mean. And I'd like to look at this message in two parts. The one we've been just talking about, the mean days. Some days are mean. And that's what we'll focus on at first. And then we'll turn the corner. And we'll consider how God makes them meaningful. There's value in every day that we're here on this earth. You know, and sometimes there's just no rhyme or reason. And not only that, the ones who subject us at times, the ones who subject us to these pits, if you will, they're the ones who kind of throw us into the pit of meanness, if you will. Sometimes it's who? Family. Now, don't look around the room and say, yeah, it's you. It's the woman you gave me. Don't do that. It could be a brother. It could be a parent. It could be a relative. But family, sometimes it could be a spouse. It could be a child. It could be. And that's what makes it harder. Because sometimes it's family. Other times a push comes from a friend. And for some of us, we have some friends that to us, they are closer than family. Family may have been just some years you spent with them, and then you moved out on your own. But you had a friend for all those years, and that you spend all those years with your friend, even post the time with your family. You went to grammar school, you went to middle school, high school, college, and you were at his wedding, she was at your wedding, or however, you were there for the birth of their child. And when a friend stabs you in the back, that's brutal. This one you expect. Sometimes the foe, the enemy, the foe, our foe, pushes us, if you would, in a pit of meanness. And then even in this, sometimes it's stumbled so many people because of a lack of depth within themselves. And it's caused them to turn away, not understanding, but even the Father, our God at times will allow us to go through some mean days, weeks, months, seasons. I know, I've gone through some years. And I know that it's been by God's divine design. And because of that, I wouldn't change it for the world. But let me tell you, going through it, it's so much better to be gone through it and look back and say, wow, God, your hand was in all that. And that was brutal. Please don't ever do that again. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Yeah, some mean days. Godly people go through mean days. I'm sure you know this. I want to look at a few. We started with Genesis chapter 37. You can turn there. I'm going to trust that all of us here, for the most part, we know the story of Joseph. So we're very familiar. We don't got to get into all the details. But I want to draw your attention to verse 18 again. We're in Genesis 18. It says, "Now when they saw him afar off, that they were Joseph's brothers, the him was Joseph." Notice, even before he came near them. So they're seeing him come. Here are Joseph's brothers, his family, and they're talking about him. They're conspiring against him. He's clueless. And they want to kill him. How'd you like a brother like that? Some of us have perhaps some brothers like that. If they could, they would. And maybe they tried in times past, but you had another sibling that protected you. Or a parent. And then listen to what they say. They say to one another, verse 19, "Look, this dreamer is coming." And if you remember, who gave Joseph the couple dreams that he had that we know of? God gave Joseph those dreams. And his brothers, they were not spiritual. At this time, obviously, they weren't spiritual. They were too carnal to even consider that perhaps God was doing something, and this was something that God was going to be doing for their future. They were so carnal, they weren't even thinking that way. They were just thinking humanly, carnally. They were jealous of their brother Joseph. They hated their brother Joseph, and they wanted to squash his dreams. Dreams that God gave him. A little side note, let me tell you something. If God has blessed you with a dream, let's say, and I'm talking about biblical, it's truly Jesus Christ, God has given you a dream, a vision of something of your future, and there comes times when it looks like someone or something's trying to squash those dreams, let me tell you, if it's the Lord, nothing or no one can stop what God wants to do in your life. Amen. So the best thing for you, for me to do, is rest in the Lord, is to trust in the Lord. Because what God ordains, He sustains, and no one can stop Him. Now, Joseph had some dreams. The brothers, they wanted to wipe him out. And so they said, verse 20, "Come therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit. And we shall say, some wild beast have devoured him. And we shall see what will become of his dreams." Now moving forward, when Joseph, verse 23, had come to his brothers, they stripped Joseph of his tunic. If you remember, the tunic was the tunic that who gave him? His father gave him. And this was a very special tunic. It was a special gift from his father. And they were jealous of him, and so they stripped it off of him. This was a tunic of many colors that was on him in verse 24. Then they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And I don't know how they could do this, but there are some folks that, in the depravity of humanity, they could just sit down and have a meal. I mean, you think about that. Here they're plotting. This is what hatred does. This is what envy does. This is what jealousy does. And maybe you've been subjected to some mean days, some hard things, some challenging things because of somebody else's envy and jealousy and hatred. But I can imagine when Joseph came, he was coming with good intent. He was sent by his father to check on his brothers. He was coming with good intent. And his brothers were plotting against him. And the look, I can't even imagine. To some degree I can, but I can't fully imagine. What did Joseph's face look like when he realized that his brothers had no good intent towards him? The terror, perhaps the terror, the panic. Hey, what? And then they grab him. They throw him. They start throwing him in the pit. He's probably screaming, crying out. But the brothers, they saw this. They heard the cries. They heard the questions. Hey, why are you doing this? What are you doing? And how they can go from that to eating a meal? And that's how some people are. Some people are cruel. And they could just go back to business as usual, like nothing. Meanwhile, you're suffering after that push into the pit. Well, verse 25, then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Verse 26, so Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? I mean, what are we going to get out of it? Well, at least let's get something out of it. Let's get some money from him or out of him, out of this situation. Now come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and let not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh. What a nice brother. And his brothers listened. Then Midian traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit. And man, I can't even imagine what Joseph was going through at this point. Maybe he thought, okay, it's over. The worst of it's over. Maybe he didn't hear the conversation they had about selling him, and they're pulling him out, and they say, oh, okay, nice prank, guys. Nice prank, bro, brothers. And then they sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. You know Joseph, you know how old he was at this time? 17 years old. 17. What a mean day that was. Would you say that was a mean day? What a mean day. You almost get angry. It almost gets you angry. And if some of you have experienced mean days by the hands of family, when you think about it, you start thinking about it, it can be quite upsetting. But thank God we have a God of mercy, right? That God helps us, even in our trouble, to deal with family that hurts us. If it wasn't for Jesus, who knows what we were capable of doing, right? And some people might judge you and say, oh, you're unforgiving. Well, if it wasn't for Jesus, it'd be way worse. It's not unforgiveness. There comes a point where sometimes you learn that, you know, you got to keep some family at a healthy distance, huh? They've just taught you. They've taught you. And these guys here, they did have a change of heart, and that's a beautiful thing. We just don't discover this until 13 years later. And sometimes it takes a long time for people to have a change of heart. But Joseph, he maintained himself, regardless of his struggles, he maintained his personal relationship with Jesus. That's the key throughout all the mean days. Well, we move from family to friend. In Psalm 55, David, he says, for it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. He says, but it was you. It was you. It was you. A man my equal, my companion, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, And we walked to the house of God in the throne. Out of all the multitudes of people, when we were going into the house of God, we hung out together. We walked side by side. We were together. I could have been with tons of other people, but you are my friend. Commentators, they understand and believe that the individual that David is talking about here is Ahithophel. If you remember Ahithophel was one of David's top advisors. This guy was a gifted man, and he would give advice, and it said that when he spoke, when he gave his advice, it was as if God was speaking. And Ahithophel was a good, close friend of David. It wasn't just a relationship of position. I'm king, and you are here to help me, and I keep a healthy distance. No, David had a much more meaningful relationship with Ahithophel than that. But what happened, if you remember, David's son, Absalom, rebelled against his father. What happened was Ahithophel joined partners, partied up, joined with Absalom, and betrayed David. Betrayal is hurtful, especially when it comes from a friend, someone you fellowship with. I mean, I hope this has never happened to any of you, but I was just thinking of a scenario. Imagine you have a friend from, as I was saying earlier, from childhood. You go through high school together. You go to college together. You graduate and you start your families. I mean, your friend gets married, you get married. You're at the wedding. You're in the wedding. You have a kid. And you're there for them when they're having their first kid. You have your kid and you start your families. And then you find out that your best friend has been fooling around with your spouse. Some people have lived that, or some kind of that scenario. That's brutal. Sometimes we go through these mean days. Here, David is expressing a mean day that came from a friend. Now, a foe we expect, right? You expect the enemy. It's still not fun. It's not like you could say, well, this is the enemy, so it's okay. I can. No, it's still Paul. He said in 2 Corinthians 12:7, I remind you, in verse 7, he says, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. A thorn in the flesh. How many of you have ever gotten a thorn in the flesh? Isn't it? It's so irritating, isn't it? It might not be something that's like ruins your life, but it can ruin your day. Yeah. Those thorns in the flesh, a splinter, whatever, it's very irritating. It's very distracting. It's hard to focus on other things when you have a thorn in your flesh. It's consuming. It's preoccupying. It's not a good thing. And here he says that this thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And then he says in verse 8, concerning this thing, I pleaded. I pleaded. He begged. I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And you know what God said? I know you know what God said, but basically God said no. My grace is sufficient for you. Boy, it's tough, right? It's tough. You got a messenger from Satan buffet you, and God says, I want you to go through it. I'll give you the grace to go through it, but it's not going to change. You can ask a million times. The answer is going to stay the same. Boy, that's tough. That's a mean or difficult or challenging experience. Maybe some of you are there right now. You're trying to make sense of it. And hopefully by the end of this time, you will be encouraged. And it'll give you that strength that this time together will give you that nudge that not into a pit, but to progress you forward, to help you get out of the pit, to make sense of it to some degree. Because God, Even though we have some mean days, he makes them meaningful. Now, lastly, the Father here is our Lord. Our Lord, the Father wanted him to go through with the plan. And it was getting there. The plan was about to be complete. Remember, Jesus on the cross, he says, "It is finished." But it wasn't finished at this point. It was almost there. He's almost at the finish line. And I've said it a million times. I'll probably say it a million more times. It's always too soon to quit. And here is almost at the finish line. And it tells us in Luke 22, verse 39, coming out, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. And as he was accustomed, this was a place of prayer. And as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And then he goes and it tells us he withdraws from them about a stone's throw to do the same, to pray. And he knelt down and he threw himself, if you would, before the Father. And he said, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Father, if it is your will, stop this, remove this, take it away." Even our Lord. And it might seem mean, it might seem hard, and it might seem harsh that God would do this. But there's so much more we know. But it was so intense that even our Lord, if our Lord got to a point where it was so hard as he was facing the Father's will, that the Father allowed, don't be so hard on yourself when you find yourself struggling. You know, the scriptures tell us that he was tempted in all points, even as we are. Yet he never sinned, therefore he's able to aid us. Thank you, Jesus. He's been where you're at. He's experienced things that we've never experienced. And those experience of difficulty, remember, he was a man of sorrows. It wasn't just his 3 years that he had a difficult experience on the earth. The Bible tells us he was a man of sorrows. There's no doubt that he had many, many years of hardship and challenge and difficulty. But we thank him that he will come alongside of us when we're having a hard time, when we're saying, "Take this away, take this away." And yet, there was no okay. And thank God there was no okay. Jesus faced the cross. He gave his life for our sins. He rose from the grave for us so that we can be justified through faith in what Jesus did. Thank you, Jesus, that there was a plan and you finished the course. And this is what he said. He said, and this is an example for us, "Nevertheless, not my, but your will be done." Now, even though we experience mean days, and a point of this is no one is exempt. And Joseph was godly. David was godly. Paul was godly. And our Savior, he was perfect. He said, "I always do those things that please the Father." No one is exempt. So if you feel like you're going through it and you are alone, I just want to encourage you. That's the enemy trying to get you to think that way. Because that's not true. You are not alone in this. I'm not going to tell you to look around the room, but if you were to look around the room, I guarantee, if it was possible that there would be something that would indicate that we're going through it, probably a lot of indicators would be rising up above each one of us. "Me too. Me too. Me too. Yeah, I'm going. It's hard. I want this to go. Take it away. I'm there too. And if you're not now, give it some time. Now, some days are mean, but God makes them meaningful. We see in the life of Joseph back in chapter 50, let's look at back in Genesis 50, verse 20. Look at here, it tells us, and you don't have to turn there if you don't have enough time. We're going to move kind of quick now. Joseph tells his brothers 13 years later, see, God had fulfilled those dreams. No one can stop them. No one could have stopped them. The brothers couldn't stop them. The Midianites couldn't stop them. Pharaoh couldn't stop them. Pharaoh's wife couldn't stop them when he was thrown in prison. Nothing can stop, could have stopped God from fulfilling his will in Joseph's life. Joseph loved God. And Joseph learned the meaning in the mean, if you would. It tells us here, and we even sang it today. I was so blessed. We sang it in one of the worship songs. The enemy meant for evil. You turned to good, or you meant for good. Here, Joseph tells his brothers, this is where that came from. But that's for you. That's for you. Your intent was evil against me. You meant evil against me. But God meant it for good. God had a whole different outcome and a whole different purpose in the same circumstances. And Joseph got to a point where he recognized this. He was able to see beyond the circumstances, beyond the hurt, beyond what he personally went through, and see the bigger picture that God had for him and for his family and for the nation and ultimately for all of us, because Jesus came through the nation of Israel. He was able to make sense of it. God gave him meaning. And look what he says. And of course, Joseph couldn't see the full picture, but he understood this. But God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. You know, some of those mean days aren't as much as they are for you as they are for others. You know, a lot of the hurts, a lot of the pains, a lot of the meanness, the challenges, the hardships. If we focus on just ourselves, we miss out on the ministry that can take place in the lives of others, that God will use us for others' sake. We miss out. And some people can never get past themselves and see the bigger picture. But Joseph saw the bigger picture. God brought meaning to his life, and he understood things from a spiritual perspective. David, look what he says in Psalm 55, verse 16. He says, as for me, I will call upon God. His betrayal pushed him towards God. I'm sure it was hurtful, I'm sure it was painful, and I'm sure his heart was wrenched and he had struggles, but it brought meaning. It brought him into a deeper relationship with God. He says, as for me, I will. And that's a determinative thing that we do when we are thrust into a pit by a betrayer, by a friend who's turned enemy. We purpose, we say, I will. Not I feel. I don't feel like calling. I will. It's an act of the will. You could feel like not doing it. You feel like not reading the Bible. You feel like not going to church. You feel like not being around other Christians. But you say, I will. I will read God's word. I will be in fellowship. I will pray. I will be seeking God. Amen. It's an act of the will, and the Lord shall save me. Amen. Verse 17, he says, evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He talks about praying basically throughout the day and even just expressing his pain and what he's going through. But he's not going to not allow God. He's not going to just keep it all in and focus all inside himself and be in his head and in his feelings. He's going to let it out and bring it to the one who can handle it all. And he shall hear my voice. Verse 18, he has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. And it's always good to look in the past and say, God delivered me from this. He's going to deliver me. In the past, he's delivered me from this. In the past, he's going to deliver me from what I'm going through. Now, he has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many against me. And then now look at what he's doing. He turns and he starts addressing the reader, you and me. He becomes others focused. He gets out of himself. He seeks God, and that helps him seek God, get out of himself, and to start encouraging others. And so he says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. God will take care of them. I don't need to. God will deal with that. I just got to cast my burdens on him and know that he'll sustain me. He's never going to let me be moved. Now we move to foe. Look at what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. He says, and lest I should be exalted above or by the abundance of the revelations. See, Paul, he got to a point where he learned that he was prone to pride. And he tells us this, unless I should be puffed up because God revealed so much to me. He brought meaning. God brought meaning. Somehow God ministered to him. And Paul was able to, even though this was mean, a difficult experience, that there was a messenger from Satan given him, he was able to bring meaning to it. And he says, you know, I'd be so puffed up with pride because of all the revelations that God has given me. I'd be so puffed up with pride. I needed this thorn in the flesh. God knew. God knew. I wouldn't want it. I asked that it be taken away, but God knew I needed it. And some of us, we need those thorns in the flesh. We need them. I know I need them. It seems like my whole Christian service of ministry, I got, the Lord saved me in 1989. I was 19 years old. And then when I got involved in ministry, it just seems like my whole years of ministry, almost all of them, there's always been a thorn in the flesh. Sometimes I wonder which is the worst thorn in the flesh. Is it the enemy? Or is it me? Sometimes I could be the worst thorn that I got to deal with. Insecurities. And the list goes on. We don't have all year. But Paul, he knew this about himself. And this brings meaning. And he says, so a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. He says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. No doubt he pleaded with the Lord first. And then the Lord brought meaning. God brought meaning to the meanness. And after him seeking the Lord, and the Lord saying no, and the Lord saying to him, my grace, my grace, my kindness to you on a personal note. I can fill you with joy even in the midst of your hardship. I can fill you with peace and delight. How many times you're going through horrible, hard things and you spend, sometimes it's just even a short time, but you spend 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes with the Lord. And after those moments with the Lord, God fills your soul with such peace and delight and joy. And you think, everything's fine. What am I freaking out about? Everything's fine. Nothing's changed, but you've changed. God's changed you. And God's grace is like that. Powerful. Powerful. You can't put a price tag on it, of course. So valuable. And he says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast, Paul says, in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses. That sounds like a bad day, huh? A bad life. Listen why he does it. For Christ's sake. For Jesus' sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now then there's our Lord. Our Lord, he didn't throw in the towel. He said, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You know, because of what Jesus did, he's brought so much meaning to the world. I mean, all of us are here because Jesus went to the cross. He died on the cross and he rose from the grave and he gave us life. All of us are here because we so appreciate what Jesus did. It saddens us that he suffered for our sins, the innocent for the guilty. Certainly. It grieves us, causes us to sorrow, as I said, but it also rejoices the Spirit because we have experienced eternal life through faith in what he did. He's brought so much meaning, not for himself, but for us and to us. And so, you know, brothers, I want to encourage you, sisters, young and old, I want to encourage all of us that no matter how mean your day, your week, your month, your year may have be right now or has been. Don't focus so much on the mean days. Seek the Lord. Because God, he's the one who brings meaning in those difficult times. I know you know this, but maybe it's just a reminder. You need to hear it. And if you got nothing else to focus on, focus on what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want to encourage you to jot this down. You don't have to turn there. But he says, but thanks be to God, this is verse 57, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Start thanking God. If you're having a hard time with your feelings and with your circumstance, just start thanking God. That is so powerful. Thank you, God. Thank you that you saved my soul. Just start thanking him. Thank you that you're merciful. Thank you that you're kind. Thank you that you're present. Thank you that your promises are good. Yes and amen. Thank you that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Just start thanking him and see what happens inside of you. And then Paul encourages, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Immovable, always abounding, growing in the work of the Lord, knowing that, and I added this, and I know some of you are thinking, you shouldn't add or take away. I'm not fundamentally adding or taking away. That even though some days are mean, God makes them meaningful. Knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You can do this. No matter what you're going through, you can do this. You can thank God and you can keep growing in Christ and serving Christ. I know you can do it. You do those two things. Thank God and serve God. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine.